guy. I want to say this about our speaker today. I'm so excited. He did a fantastic job last night, and he shared a little bit of his story, a little bit of how he was sick, and this is 9 years ago, 9 years ago, and he was sick, and just all sorts of people were praying for him, all sorts of people that he had no idea. Well, I got to tell you this because it's so cool. Like, right before service, in the back, there is David. And many of you guys don't know David. In fact, most of you don't know David. And he's probably very uncomfortable that I'm calling him out right now. Because David and his wife, Susan, they just became members of Living Way Church in our last membership class. They've only been coming for a month. And we're just excited to have them as a part of our church family. And by the way, the next membership class is February 10th. Sign up for that. But anyway, they came and they attended that. And he came running up to me after service, or right before service. And he said, "Pastor, you're not going to believe this." He said, "But Jonathan Rizzo's the speaker. I was praying for him when he was sick 9 years ago." And he had no idea the connection here. Nothing like that. But amazing how God works, right? Amazing how God works. And so I'm so encouraged by Jonathan's testimony. I'm so encouraged by his passion for missions and his passion for prayer. He's a fantastic father, a fantastic husband, a great youth pastor of OB1 Church. We're really proud to have him here. Give it up for Jonathan Rizzo.
Am I on? Pastor Doug, you're back. You want to trade? Morning, guys. I shared yesterday that I'm a huge baseball fan, huge. And I gave Jeff Hudgens permission to interrupt me if it comes down in the next 30 minutes that the Padres sign Manny Machado. So I'm praying that I get interrupted. That ain't going to happen. They'll sign some 50-year-old who's going to retire. All right. I just wanted to start off today. Good morning, by the way, guys. It's such an honor to be here. But I just wanted to start out today. I introduced my family last night, and I introduced my wife. But I just wanted to honor and recognize you. She's not even in here. All right. I just wanted to honor and... is she here? Hey, babe. I just wanted to honor and recognize you. You can stay there. It takes a lot for me to prepare a sermon. I work a full-time job. I work a part-time job. I wrote a book that's taken off. And my point is, we have three kids, and it's a lot. And I know I'm up here delivering the gospel this morning and last night, but she's the reason why I'm able to be up here. So I just wanted to honor you and give it up. So. And I mean that because I wouldn't be able to do what God's called me to do if she wasn't behind the scenes with the girls. So speaking of prayer, I told you guys last night I wasn't feeling well. My fever was over 100 while I was up here last night, and I was pretty miserable. But it says the strength of the Lord gets you through. And I don't know how I got through. I don't. But many of you guys over there when we were eating laid hands and prayed over me. And I still feel yucky, but I woke up with a normal temperature. So prayer works, and I appreciate that. And it's so awesome seeing everyone. It's like a blast from the past. I feel at home. It's pretty rad. I told you guys last night that we're going to leave with this verse etched in our minds and in our hearts. So I just want to read it together. Let's read it together. It says, "And he said to them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest.'" In my notes, I have "earnestly" in caps, because that's what it's about, is praying earnestly. Like what we talked about last night, don't give up, never stop praying. Guys, God's a pretty cool God, right? We can agree. But he loves when we pursue him. He loves when we get on our knees and go to him with our garbage. He loves when we just go to him in quiet time. He just loves being pursued by us. As we continue on this morning, I want to share a story with you guys. It's a story how God moves in ways that we may never understand. Kind of like what Daniel was just talking about, the Red Sea being parted and It you can't comprehend it, right? A lot of things that God does, our brain doesn't comprehend. So, at least mine can't. So, as I was kind of preparing, I came across the scripture that kind of proves it. It's going to be up here on the screen. It's Ecclesiastes 11:5. It says, "As you do not know the path of the wind, or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things." I'm like, I'm not the only one. That's pretty rad. And I was bragging yesterday how I skipped a grade because I'm so smart. So there's a story I want to share with you guys. It's just a story how we can't comprehend how God works. Just like how my brother David that I met for the first time was praying for me 9 years ago. That's how God works. There's this woman, younger woman, and she wanted to go on a missions trip. And she needed to raise $3,000. And we all know, it's a lot of money. She's like, I really want to go, God's calling me. But how am I going to raise these funds? So she's at the grocery store one day. And she's got her cart, she's got all her groceries. And there's many lines, or check stands. And several of them, there's no one in. And as she's turning into one of the check stands to get in and out right away, God says, go to that one. And she says, God, why would I go to that one? That one's extremely long. Everyone in the store's in this line. I'm just going to go here and get out. God says, go to that line. She says, okay, I'm going to obey you. Out of obedience, I'm going to obey. So she pushes her cart to the line, and it's taking forever. And she's like, I have no idea why I'm in this line. And by the way, three is not a crowd. That's a lie from the devil. Three is not a crowd. So she starts talking to the woman in front of her. And they start talking, chopping it up. You know, I don't know how much time. A few minutes later, it comes out that this young girl wants to go on a missions trip. And they exchange numbers. The next day, she gets a call from this older lady at the grocery store, and she says, hey, I want you to come to my house. The young girl's like, okay, this is weird, but I'm driving over there with her security guard. And they start talking. The older woman says, I've been praying to bless someone, and I can't physically go, but I know that you're called. And she wrote a check for $3,000. And the point of this is, we're not all able to do what others can, right? But she was praying that she can come across someone that she can help. That's a powerful story. We don't understand how God works. I don't even know if we're supposed to, because we're never going to be able to figure it out. But the word that comes to my mind is obedience. Because of being obedient to what God's telling her to do, even when it doesn't make sense, someone was praying for her that she didn't even know. So I want to encourage you guys right now. You may be the woman who never thought she could get the money to go on a missions trip, or the man. You may have in your mind that you can't afford it. Your boss will never give you time off. The logistics just aren't going to work out. Those are the doubts that we have and the fears. A lot of times we doubt, we make excuses. We feel like we aren't worthy enough or we're not gifted enough to do it. It's a lie, by the way, guys. It's a lie. But what if right now, this moment, what if right now at the 43rd Living Way Church Missions Conference, you guys pray, God, where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to go? I trust you will provide. And I will believe. I will believe. I will trust that you will provide the way so that I can go be your laborer in the harvest, so that I can be your hands and your feet. Make that commitment, however that may look for you, because everyone's going to be called differently. Even when we do not know how the pieces will fit, just know that God already has them laid out. That's where the trust and the faith comes in. We just need to walk in them. And on Friday night, it was so awesome how a lot of the missionaries that were here were able to stand up and share a little bit what's going on. And One of them really stuck out to me, which is you, Mark Bunnell, and how you're newlywed, which isn't easy. Right, babe? Not easy. It's worth it. And you guys have a lot of money that you need to come across. $50,000 is a lot of money. Let's be honest. But what I do know is that God's in control of that. And I'm going to put something up on the screen right now. And the reason why I know that God's in control is because of this promise right here. Check this out. It says, long before Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus, the tree was planted to meet his need. How cool is that? Long before Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus, the tree was planted to meet his need. Your need's already been met. Let's be honest. So walk in that faith and that confidence. Isaiah 6:8, great verse. We all know this one. It says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. Send me. I'm right here. It doesn't say who's going to go for us. And it says, Greg said, call on Bev. And Bev said, hey, what about him over there? It's, hey, I'm right here. Send me, use me. I'm open. I'm available. It's the attitude that we always need to have. Always be ready and prepared to do the work of the Lord. Amen. Not all of us are able to give money to sponsor someone on a long-term or short-term missions trip. We're not all physically able to fly on a plane, go overseas, or hop in a car and drive to Mexico, if you will. But let me share with you guys one thing that we are able to do. It's going to be up on the screen. We are all able to get on our knees and pray earnestly for those who do. We're all able to do that. We are. That's a truth. To lift those up on the battlefield and on the front lines. And what's cool about this is, again, I've been on a few missions trips, and it's not easy. It's fun. It's awesome. But it's not easy, and there's a lot of attacks. And they're just short-term, 10 to 14-day ones. We have missionaries in this room that this church supports and all over the world that, guys, they're in the battlefield every single day. And there's a lot of oppression going on. There's a lot of spiritual attacks that the enemy just wants to crush them down. Crush them. And we need to stand as a family, and we got to be praying for these people, for our family. They're on the ground. They're our boots. And we've heard all weekend, they're doing amazing things. We got to be praying for them. We all know the passage out of John chapter 4, 27 through 35. John chapter 4 is Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And you guys are going to say, well, how does that have to do with missions? Well, in my crazy mind, it does. So I'm going to try to twist it to a point where it makes sense. And if not, so be it. There'll be another guest speaker next year. But basically, the overview is you have Jesus, and he knows all already. That's the cool thing, right? He knows all already. Like, he knows I just took a step right there. It's like, oh, you tripped me, Jonathan. And we have a Samaritan woman going to the well. She's kind of messed up, let's be honest. She's kind of messed up, like me. And she goes to the well with her jar to get some water. And we're going to pick it up in verse 27. It says, just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. So earlier in the passage, the disciples went into town to get food because they were tired, hungry, exhausted. Jesus, they're surprised he was talking to a woman, not just a woman, but a Samaritan woman, because Jesus was a Jew, and culturally you can't do that. But no one asks, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? Then, leaving her water jar, which is crazy to me, because she went to the well for something, right? And she left without the resource that she went for, okay? Leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Duh, lady. They came out of the town and made their way toward him. And just imagine, like, this woman. And she's like running in her dress or whatever. And then like this whole town, like the stampede of people are like, we're about to meet the Messiah. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, this is so good, guys, pay attention, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. To go to the ends of the earth and tell people about the love of God. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. In 4 months, the grain's going to turn white. It's going to be available. It's not ready now, but Jesus is saying, it's ready now. The hearts are soft and they are ready. There's urgency in Jesus' voice right here. Open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. People right in front of our eyes, all around us, there's people who are ready to hear the gospel message. And they're ready for it and they're excited. That's the will of the Father, to share Jesus. It's not up to us who decides to accept. It's not. But what it is up to us is out of obedience, guys. There's that obedience word again. Out of obedience to plant the seed to everyone that we come across. We're all called to plant the seed. Share Jesus to people. And, you know, I want to make something pretty clear. A lot of times we think that missions is you have to physically go somewhere. You do. You have to get in a plane. But, you know, there's missions field in your own home. There is. The grocery store. My job. I'm preaching to people 24/7. I am. I'm using every opportunity that I have. The park, your neighborhood, your place of employment. Really, that's the missions field. It's, are we loving people? Are we sharing the good news of Jesus? How are we treating people? Is Jesus reflecting in our actions? We got to be planting the seed to everyone that we come across. That's our duty, and then God's going to come in. Every day that passes, there's people dying who don't know Jesus. And as a believer, that should make your heart, knowing what's going to happen. If you know me, and you've read my book, thank you guys, by the way, supporting that. That's so awesome. You guys are awesome. But if you know me, you know that there's one thing that if you're around me long enough, you're going to know about me. And it's, I love when people share their story. I love when people share their story. And I think it's really important. You're going to see it up on the screen. Your story is the key that can unlock someone else's prison. Your story is the key that can unlock someone else's prison. We got to open up our mouths about what God's done in our lives. Psalms 22:22 says, I will praise you to all my brothers. I will stand up before the congregation and testify of the wonderful things that you have done. I'm going to share what you have done. Psalm 66:16, come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he did for me. I'm going to tell you what God's done. I want to encourage all of you guys in this room this morning, all of you guys, to share what Jesus has done in your life and currently doing in your life and in the past, because your story is powerful. It is. Every single person in this room has a story, and it's powerful. So never think that what God's done can't make a difference. Because it will. And my story is pretty crazy. I was dead. It's crazy. And here I am. But you don't have to have a crazy story like that. You know, a lot of times we think that testimonies aren't powerful because this crazy thing hasn't happened to me yet. So I'm not able to relate to someone. That is the biggest lie that you've ever heard. Because God is doing miracles in our life every single day. And there's someone out there that is longing and needing to hear what you've been through. Amen. And we all know this quote, It's kind of recycled in the church, but I live by it. It says, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And I read this quote all the time, because we're all called by God. We are. It's all our duty. A lot of us, we don't think that God can use us. You want to know something? When I told you guys last night, when Pastor Daniel emailed me asking if I'd be the missions conference speaker, I was shaking because I was so nervous. And I'm like, what an honor. And I called my wife and I said, I'm not going to do it. And through the phone, she physically slapped me. She said, yeah, you are. I didn't think I was worthy enough. I didn't. I still don't know if I am. I don't know, but I'm just doing what God's called me to do. You know, I'm no one special. Trust me on that. I'm no one special, but I'm a child of the King. And I really feel that the last couple of days, there's words that he wanted me to deliver to you guys to encourage, motivate, and strengthen. So if you're one of those that don't think God can't use you, I want to read about 24 to 25 people that he used. We're going to have some fun right now. You guys ready to have some fun? All right. Number one, Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. He was pretty old, though. We can be honest on that. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. The Bible says that. Joseph was abused. Moses had problems speaking and talking. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. As a youth pastor, that's not accurate. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. We're not even going to go there, are we? It's true. Read the Bible, guys. It's pretty funny. Times have changed. You're welcome. Jonah ran from God. We all know how that ended up. See, that's the thing. Like, Jonah, it's like, oh, I feel so bad for you. I don't. Because that's what happens when you don't obey God. You obey and good things happen. You don't obey and you end up in a shark. Crazy. Smelly. Whale, whatever it was. Fish, I don't know. Something that you don't want to be in that situation. So to avoid it, you obey. It's not hard. We complicate it. Naomi was a widow. Peter denied Christ more than once. The disciples fell asleep while praying. The disciples, the chosen 12, fell asleep while praying. Like, really? It's crazy. We talked about that last night. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul, Saul, killed Christians. Timothy had a bad stomach and frequent illnesses. And Lazarus was dead. So tell me again how God can't use you. No, really. Like, legit. Come on. Like, for real, God can't use you, but look at this. Paul wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament, and he was slaughtering those that he was writing to? Come on. And you're like, oh, God can't use me. I'm just going to do nothing all day. Get off your high horse, man. Let's go. I fall into that trap too. But that's encouraging. Isn't that encouraging? So it's crazy because we have the opportunity to give others what it truly means to live. We do. To give them life. Jesus says, I am the life. I am the life. And they say, no, thank you. I already have a life. And Jesus says, but I've seen your life, and it's not a life. It's just an existence. And it breaks my heart that you think that this is life. See, Jesus says, I am the life. I am the life. He doesn't come to change your belief. He comes to change your existence. That's what Jesus does. Because without Christ, we're just existing. He wants to give us life. We have that life. Are we passing what God's done to us to people that we come across? There's people right now walking around thinking that this is the best. This is the best that it's ever going to get for them. It's a fake joy. It's a fake peace. People are waking up every day. They're going to bed every night never experiencing true joy, true peace, true love, true freedom, true forgiveness of their sins, true life. That's sad. That's really sad. So guys, share your story, please, of what God is doing in your life. How we doing? We good? That's good stuff, isn't it? I told you guys last night, I showed you the pictures of that bed that I was in and that craziness. And last night, so many people came up and said, man, I was praying for you. I was praying for you. I was praying for you. Like, how cool is that? So thank you, guys. So one of the things that I didn't share yesterday, just so you guys can understand the severity of the illness that I had, was if you guys ever go to the doctors and they say, open up your mouth, let's check your ears, and let's check your air oxygen. And they put that little clip on your finger, and you need to be at 100%. They want you to be at 97, 98, 99, 100. When I went into the hospital and they knocked me into a coma, I was at 47%. So in other words, anything under 50%, two things happen. You're dead, or you're brain dead, and you're a vegetable for the rest of your life on life support. And it was to the point where it was dropping almost a percentage a minute, which is why it was so severe to get the propofol, which is the Michael Jackson drug, into my system to knock me out. Fun fact, the doctor told me that they put four times the amount of propofol into my system to get me knocked out. And they said that they thought I was going to die of an overdose, but that was the only option that they had to get me into the coma. There's miracles everywhere in this story. And there is a buddy of mine, his name was Mikey, and I think he's still on the radio somewhere, but he had a really popular radio show about 9 years ago on Rock 105.3. It was called The Mikey Show. Some of us may be familiar with it. And he came and visited me at the hospital, was really involved in my recovery, and was really kept up to date on everything. Came and visited me one day and prayed for me, and it was really cool. So one morning, it was the morning that I was leaving. It was August 24th of 2009. I'd been in the hospital for 30 days. They came in at 7 in the morning, and the nurses said, you're going home today. Home. I'm like, this is awesome. Any of you guys ever had kids? And they say, hey, your baby's healthy, you're going home. And at 6 a.m. and they release you at like 11 p.m., right? So I'm like, this is going to be interesting. Like, dude, so I got my hopes up and I got released at like 4 p.m., literally like 12 hours later. So someone had texted me, I was laying in bed, and someone had texted me that Mikey was talking about me on his radio show about the swine flu and I should call in. So imagine this, I'm sitting in my hospital bed, and I'm kind of, you know, elevated a little bit, and I'm so weak. I had lost 42 pounds. I went from 210 pounds to 168 pounds in that 30 days. And I was kind of elevated in my bed, and I was so weak, I could not hold a cell phone, which weighs 8 to 10 ounces maybe. I was so weak, I could not hold this thing. And I had a big fat hole in my neck from the tracheostomy to help me breathe. And it wasn't closed, so I had to talk putting these fingers over my neck. Otherwise, there's just a bunch of air coming through. So we get in contact with Mikey, and the phone's on my chest. And I got my three fingers over the hole in my neck, and it's on speakerphone. And at this time, it was the most popular radio show in San Diego. And thousands upon thousands of people were listening. And for the next 15 minutes, I went on and on and on about how God saved my life because of prayer. And in this interview on a non-Christian radio station, I straight up said, if you do not believe in the power of prayer after hearing the last 15 minutes, you never will. Because I was considered a miracle man. That's my nickname, the miracle man at the hospital. I was at Grossmont Hospital. And up until that day, they said that I was the sickest patient they've ever had that walked out. And I took advantage of those 15 minutes. Trust me. I was preaching. Even to this day, I have it on my iPod, and I'll be at the gym, and I'll get into that weird funk, and I literally play it for 15 minutes. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I needed that reminder. So my point is this. That morning, about an hour or two later, I'm chilling in my bed, still not released, and I get a knock on the door. And this woman, I call her an angel, she pops her head in and she says, "Are you Mr. Rizzo?" I said, "I am." She said, "Can I come in?" And I said, "You may." And she had the hospital outfit on. She was a nurse. And she said, "I want you to know something." I said, "What's that, dear?" She said, "Every morning, I wake up, I do my routine, I get dressed, and I drive to work. I work at this hospital." She said, "And every morning I need a laugh, so I put on the Mikey Show. And I just happened to hear your 15 minutes. And she said, "And when I heard that you're at Grossmont, I said, I have to go see him." And she went, and I get emotional when I tell this story, so forgive me. But she went on to say, she works in the cancer area. And she told me that her patients don't leave the way that I was leaving. And it took a toll on her. And instead of seeing someone walk out, she sees them wheeled out with a cover over their face. And she was going to quit. She said that she was going to quit. And she said that after my story of sharing the story of what God did in my life, it gave her so much confidence and just that nudge that she needed to keep going, because her mission field was those patients. Whether they survived or not, that was her missions field. And that's what God put on her heart. I don't know her name. I don't even know who she is. But what I can tell you is this isn't about me. It's not. I just took advantage of the opportunity because I was very lucky to be alive. It's a powerful story, guys. Share. Share the story. She needed that. And there's people out there that we're going to come across that we don't know who's going to need to hear what God is doing in your life to give them life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I want you guys to pray more. Let's make it a lifestyle. My prayer is that the last 3 days that you guys realize the impact that you do have on the missions field. And I pray that you're encouraged and excited. And I want to leave with one more verse. It's John. Here I am crying with a raspy voice. This is lovely. Sorry. It's John 14:12. This is one of my favorite Bible verses. I say that in every Bible verse that I read. But I really like this one. It says, "Very truly I tell you," this is Jesus talking, "whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that if you had every miracle that Jesus ever performed, there would not be enough room on earth for it. That's what it says. And what this verse is telling me is that they being us, will do even greater things than these. You know what my Jesus tells me? My Bible tells me that Jesus healed the blind, he raised the dead, he drove demons out, he did miracle after miracle after miracle. So this tells me that he's given us that permission and authority when we go out on the mission field. We're able to do it. Not just what he did, but you'll do even greater things. And if you've never seen it happen, have faith that it will. Because a lot of times we doubt, "Oh, well, I've never seen it." Well, pray for it, and the opportunity will come. We can perform miracles. And lastly, I want to leave on this this quote here. I don't know if it's a quote, it's a saying. It says, "Missions move in the wake of prayer. May we be a church that rises up by falling to our knees in order to advance God's kingdom to all nations." We rise up by falling on our knees. Last couple of days, we've read a lot of verses about when we fall on our knees before God, that's when we can rise up. It's been an absolute honor and privilege. I hope you guys got encouraged. I am. Thank you for your hospitality, and I love you guys. Thank you.